like you to open your Bible to him at 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Chapter 17. As I was studying this message, I never ever spoke about King Jehoshaphat before, and it was really for a prayer meeting. But the Lord wonderfully told me not to speak it at the prayer meeting. It was to be the very first prayer meeting I came to in our ranks. But the Lord graciously and wonderfully, and been led by the Holy Spirit, and I believe this is the message that the Lord has laid on our hearts, even now, as you would listen in this meeting house, and even in the audio sermon, that the Lord would bless. He knows our need. We must cry to him for his blessing, for his power. We see in this chapter, well, in chapter 16, we have a king called Asa. Asa was a good king, but near the end of his life, he began to rely on man more than God. And he was foolishly. And he done these things, and especially when he was sick, he did not call on God. He did not rely on the Lord to heal him. But he relied more on the physicians, someone whom he could see. And how that is a picture of people today. They rely on people who they can see, but they don't rely on God whom they can't see. Well, we as Christians, when we see God, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on his right hand, because that's where he is, we look through the eyes of faith. We know he's there. How do we know he's there? Because the Bible tells us so. And how wonderful that is. But you see, Asa, he died, and in his place there was a new king called Jehoshaphat. That's a big long name, even for me, and I have to practice it to make sure I get it right, for I have a habit sometimes of calling different characters in the scripture to their wrong name. And Jehoshaphat was 35 years old whenever he became king, and he reigned for 25 years. Now we're going to have a look at the introduction to this message tonight, and the introduction is very good. Matter of fact, it's near as long as the four wee points that I have at the end of it. But I think this introduction is very interesting, and it gives us an insight into who King Jehoshaphat. He was a good king, but he was human. And this is one thing that we all must remember. A child of God, we're saved and we're born again of the Spirit of God, but we're human, and we have to watch ourselves. We have to keep our eyes firmly on God. And in chapter 17 and verse 1, as we see Jehoshaphat, and he ruled over Judah. And of course, Judah is the tribe that the Lord Jesus Christ right through. And we see in verse 3 that God was with them. It's wonderful to have God with us. God was with this king in everything that he was doing. And we see that he sought God. He knew God was with him. I was just like a child of God. We know that God is with us. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's there. But we just must not take it just like that and say, oh, God is here. We have no worries, no cares. But you see, Jehoshaphat, he sought God. And this is what we as Christians have to do, is to seek the Lord. And even for those who are not saved, and if there's any in our meeting or listening tonight, and you're not saved, God is there. God is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is on his right hand. You must seek him and ask him into your heart. Ask him to forgive you for your sins. He has already made a way back from the dark paths of sin. He died on the cross in Calvary, shed his precious blood. But you have to seek him. You have to come and repent of your sin. Not only was God with him and he sought God, but we see that he walked with God. It's good to walk with God. And we look in the New Testament how many times that we are encouraged to walk with God. How important it is. And we also see in that verse that he was separated from Israel. Well, you may thought, well, a Jewish land, and why separate from them? But you see, there was a king there. A king called Ahaz. I just forget his name, Ahaz. And he was a wicked king. He was evil. He might have thought, well, people maybe look at him at certain times and he would say, look, that man is a child of God. But he was two-faced. He just done it for his own ends. He did not walk with God. And how Jehoshaphat separated himself from this evil and wicked king. We also see in verse 5 that he was a rich man. He was rich. He had plenty of all these worldly goods. He had great substance, plenty of money. He had no worries, he had no cares. He hadn't to get down and pull the Lord and pray the Lord would send money in. I was born just after the war, and as we were bringing up, we never had much money. And even through my life, I never had the money. But many a time we used to have to seek the Lord and ask the Lord to stand us in. Even money that was owed to us. And how the Lord so graciously done wonderful things. We're able to glorify God. We always had food on the table. And how the Lord did bless us. Jehoshaphat hadn't to do that. He had everything. You know, whenever you are rich and you have everything, sometimes we'll forget about God. And we take all these temporal blessings, we take them for granted. We take them for granted. I'm happy just living day by day. That's what I do. Because I know the Lord will provide. He took away the idol from Judah. Of course, whenever his father Ahaz, whenever he had so foolishly let things slip and there was idols crept in. You wouldn't have noticed them creeping in. But at the end of his reign, that's what happened. So what did he do? He took away all idols from the country. That's what we as Christians must do as well. So many idols can come into our lives. And one of the biggest idols that we have, especially at home, and maybe as look around Australia, and you have this same, and that idol is sport. And how people are more interested in sport than in God's work and service. And this is why we don't have the ministers. This is why we don't have the missionaries. Because idols can come in. And in sport, and I see it at home, and how they have to go and train on the Lord's Day. They have to go for appointments on the Lord's Day. And then they end up playing on the Lord's Day. And this is what happens. Sport is an idol. And we have to be careful. Of course, I like a wee bit of sport. I was an athlete. And I always did like sport. But it can be a common idol. And there's other things. Well, and so many other things can come as idols in our life. We have to cast them away. Just like Jehoshaphat did do. And he sent princes to teach in the city of Judah. Not only did he take them away, but he sent princes. He sent them to go and to teach the people. Now, he took the very best. He sent the princes. He didn't send those way down in the ladder. He sent the very best for to go and teach the people. And how important it is for to teach the people the pure word of God. What is the princes now? What is the best way for to bring the word of God? See the scriptures. We must always go by what the Bible says, not from what we think, just maybe personal thoughts, but the Bible. And even in our personal thoughts, we must ask the Lord, is the Bible telling us this is the truth? We must always go by the scriptures. And he sent the priests with them. Why did he send the priests with them? Simply because of sin, where they could offer a sacrifice to God for their sin. We're all sinners. We all need to bring a sacrifice to God. The sinner must bring themselves to God. And not just that, but it was the word of God and the law was taught. It's good to teach the word of God in the country. And I look around and watch the news on television and different things. The word of God is not taught. I happen to watch a program with fishing, and I love fishing. And the man said it was there for millions and millions and millions of years. Is that teaching the word of God in our schools, at here and home? Evolution is taught. And our things just come. And how it needs to be taught the word of God. Here it was in Jehoshaphat's time, he taught the word of God. And other kingdoms feared him. And he had peace. This is what happened. And because he obeyed the word of God, set it right in front of the people where they could see it, where they could hear it. And he had peace. That was a lovely picture of Jehoshaphat. He was a great king, a great man. Verse 11. or say something, or you would think it was a good thing. But it wasn't a good thing. They brought him presents. All the different kings who was his enemies, they brought him presents. And how he took the presents. And he added up a great gifts for himself. And oh, I'm sure he thought this was great. He grew strong. And he had a great and mighty army. And then we see on chapter 18. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. That wicked, evil king that I spoke about earlier on. And the king that Jehoshaphat was so much against and separated from. And what did he do? He joined affinity to him. You see, he had everything the world could give him. And he thought he could do everything. He thought he could mix in with the world and still be mighty in the eyes of people. He mixed in. And then Ahab, his evil thoughts, all he wanted was to use Jehoshaphat and his great army to fight his battles. And here was a battle. And Jehoshaphat said to King Ahab, why do you not seek the advice of God? Why not ask God, King Ahab, what we must do in this battle? And of course Ahab inquires of false prophets. He didn't go directly to God. He went to his own false prophets. And of course, as the false prophets pretended to seek God's face, they already had the answer. Go and fight. Go and fight because you will get the victory. But Jehoshaphat had enough knowledge within his own heart. He knew the word of God. And he knew that this wasn't really right what was happening. And this is the importance of children's work. And I always like to bring the work on the boys and girls. And how important it is, because whenever you hear the word of God, young and light, you will never forget it. It's always there. And how God can use it. And here Jehoshaphat knew the word of God. He knew that this was not right. And he says to Ahab, go to a prophet of God. Ask a true prophet. And of course, Ahab says, well, there is a true prophet called Micah. He is a true prophet. Jehovah says, and he will tell the truth. It's good to see those who stand up for the Bible. And people can see, yes, that man will tell the truth because he loves the word of God and he preaches the word of God faithfully. And Micah, he gave the word of God. And he told them, go back to your homes. Forget about faith. Go back to your homes in peace. You would have thought Jehoshaphat would have obeyed him. But you see, whenever you mix in with the world, it's okay to say to yourself, oh, I can get away from that so easy. I can go in a wee bit. But you see, you can't. The world brings you down. And if you mix in with the ungodly, they will bring you down. That's why I encourage young people young Christians, to make sure of your company and who you're with and what you do and where you go. It's very important that you live a separate life unto God. Jehoshaphat didn't take the advice. He started off in his battle against these enemies of King Ahab, King of Israel. But you see, the battle didn't go well. We read about it. And how even Ahab was killed. Remember, we read that Jehoshaphat pretended to be King Ahab, and Ahab dressed up as someone else. Then some soldier, just by chance, put a bow, but it wasn't the chance. God's hand was upon it, and it hit King Ahab, and he eventually died. Jehoshaphat returned back again to his own land. Then, when he came back to his own land, there was a man called Jehu, and Jehu just went and said plain and straight to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you have gone and mixed in with the ungodly?" He should not. He disobeyed God's word. He went by ourselves, himself. And this is what we must stand firm, individually, not mixed in with the ungodly. For those false preachers, for those who are preaching another gospel, we must not mix in with them. And even as a church here in Kingston, we must stand firm and not mix in with any church or with any minister who has anything to do with the ungodly. We must stand separated, preaching the gospel. The Lord will bless. We don't want to be like Jehoshaphat and learn that lesson. And then when Jehoshaphat was before Jehu, Jehu says to him, "Oh, there are good things found in thee." You know, Jehoshaphat backslid death. And it's so easy for anyone to backslide, to go into the world, to depend on the ungodly. It's so easy. And even ourselves, we may count ourselves as Christians, and we think, well, we're doing all right. But coldness can come into our hearts. And we must be careful of coldness in our hearts. We must be seeking the Lord. Walk a separate path, pleasing unto God. You know, there's always goodness in our heart. And this is why, if anyone's cold or backslidden, we must come back to the Lord. I've been cold many times in my Christian life, and I'm sure a Christian, you can say the same. And you haven't been the faithful Christian that you ought to be, that the Bible encourages us to be. It's so easy to go into the world, so easy to backslide. And even for us Christians who are going well with the Lord, we must look at the backslider with love in our hearts. We should not really be condemning them for the way they are. I know we should speak out and tell them, look, this is not the way for you to continue. But we must have love in our hearts for them, that they will return unto the Lord. Jehu had love in his heart. He had love in his heart for Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat could have went the wrong way. He could have done foolishly things quicker in his life than his father Asa had done. Just because of Jehu, he had loving kindness in him, he says, you have goodness in your heart. How wonderful those words were. And he and his people, what happened? They returned to God. They returned to God. They repented of their sins. This is what we encourage, and I encourage backsliders to do. Return back. And encourage the unsaved to come to Christ. So important. Like Jehu, I love them in my heart. I don't want to see anyone go into a lost eternity. Matter what they've done, who they are, where they belong to, what colour of skin they have. Desires to see souls saved, born again of the Spirit of God, the love that Jehu had in his heart, to return to God, to fear the Lord with a perfect heart. Our time has gone very quickly, but just bear with me for a few moments, and we'll see the battle that came upon Jehoshaphat, king of Moab, Ammon, and others in Bethlehem. You know, and we as Christians have a spiritual battle. The old devil is so much against us. We have to be careful. We have to watch out. And you know, when we must be aware of all the dangers. Jehoshaphat, now back with the Lord, he could see all the dangers. He could see all the fear. Because of his backsliding, he became more conscious of it all. And he feared more what was going to happen. And just like Christians today, we have to fear. In case we go back, we have to be alert and watch out for the signs that we see. And then Jehoshaphat, he prays for deliverance. Now how wonderful that is in verse 14 and chapter 20. Gathered all the congregation. He knew the enemy was ready to pounce. What did he do? He prayed unto the Lord. And there's only two things he could do. And that was to give up or to fight. What did they choose? They choose is to fight. And we as God's people, that's what we are seeing. We have the choice either to fight or to give up. No good giving up. Because we'll get deeper and deeper and our hearts will be broken. But we must fight on. We have to be careful and fight with Satan. We are to submit ourselves therefore unto God. And resist the devil, and the devil will flee from us. They have fasted and prayed. And how Christian, how would we who must fast and pray if we want to see a work done for God? I remember the days when in our denomination they have fasted and prayed with special days. But now it seems to have dwindled away. We need to get back to those days of fasting and praying for deliverance. Do not see it tonight. You must come and pray to the Lord. You must come and repent of your sins. And ask the Lord to come into your heart and to forgive you. Then we see that Jehoshaphat promises a great deliverance. Yes, through. There's a great deliverance promise in verse 14 and 15. Through the servant of God, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, the Holy Ghost is in the Bible, New Testament. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. And how he says that God will give the victory. How wonderful that was. They got a really insurance. And even if you're not saved in their meeting tonight, God will give you that victory. If you but just realize you're a sinner and come to Christ, He will give you the victory. The Holy Ghost enters you straight away. And He will lead and He will guide. He will help you. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. And even for the unsaved, there we have it said, the battle is not yours, but it's God's. You just must come just as you are, and God will take care of you. You'll not be able to fight against Satan, but you see, the battle is God's, and He will give you the victory. And then we see, in closing, we see in verse 21, 22 and 23, what brought the victory? It was praise that brought the victory. And the praise unto God, they began to praise God. And it says, in the beauty of holiness, they praised God in holiness. They didn't come with entertainment. They just didn't come to help themselves, but they praised God. They put God first. They give God all the praise. They give God all the glory. That's what we must do, Christian friend, in our lives. We must come with praise and thanksgiving in heart and give all God all the glory. We should come and worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And what does that really mean? In the beauty of holiness. Holiness means without sin. You look up the dictionary, that's what it says. And what is the beauty? You see, whenever God looks down upon us as Christians, He just doesn't see us in that old sinful body that we have, but He sees the beautiness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have the garments of Christ upon us. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the beauty of holiness. Christ is our beauty. And how we must come and worship Him in the beauty of holiness. God, it comes, first of all, we must praise God. Not just to quench our own fleshly appetite, but we must come and praise God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Our time is gone, but I may encourage you to read those from chapter 16 right through to chapter 21. Read about Jehoshaphat. Take time and see how the Lord blessed him and encouraged him. And if you're not saved in our meetings, do pray that the Lord would come and speak to your heart. You will see there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will come to Him now. Or if you're listening in an audio sermon, just come, just as you are. Confess your sins. Repent of your sins. Forsake them. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Even this day. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen.